Little roller up along first. Behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
A 2-1 pitch. And a drive in the air to deep right field. That ball headed toward the wall. That ball is out of here. Out of here. A game-winning grand slam home run off the bat of Robin Ventura.
And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run. Mike Piazza. And the Mets lead 3-2.
Turner drives one to center, chasing Nimmo back to the warning track right at the fence. He made the catch! Oh, wow! The catch of the year for Brandon Nimmo! He took a home run away from Justin Turner!
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9,
Episode 33. Welcome to the Say Hello podcast. My name is Casey Lynn. I am joined by my co-host, former Major League pitcher, former Met Bill Pulsifer. We have Stephen White behind the scenes as our producer. And as always, this episode is brought to you by roots-recordings.com. Bill, welcome back, sir. Episode 33 already. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. All good. Nice, beautiful spring day up here. Beautiful.
Yeah. Is April 21st the official first day of spring?
I think it is. I think it's the official first day of spring. Welcome to spring.
Yeah. So we passed that. Welcome to spring. Where I live, it's basically spring or summer every day. But like in the Northeast, you get all four seasons.
Yeah. I always say this about Florida. I love it in the fall. Other than that, it's hot.
Yep, they're snowbirds for a reason, you know.
Fall and wintertime is great down there. Summertime, too hot for me.
Yeah, too hot for me. I'm a New Yorker, though. I born and raised. It's been only a couple years, and I'm back and forth. But episode 33, before we get into all that we have to get into, please follow us, Say Hello Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a little follow. And if you're watching or listening, please, if you have a YouTube account, we are Say Hello Media on YouTube. You can watch us, our beautiful or ugly smugs. That's up into your interpretation. Beautiful face there made by Bill. Say Hello Media, give us a subscribe. We do appreciate it as we are approaching 500 subscribers that we would love to hit sooner than later. And as we always do, Bill, episode 33, we do Met numbers, uniform numbers, past and present. Anyone come to your mind that's worn 33?
Well, yeah, for sure. I've been on a crazy schedule lately, so I didn't get a chance to really brainstorm this. But when I think 33, you know, I played in the 90s, a little bit after this guy. But I always think Eddie Murray, you know, 33 with the Mets. I'm sure there's other ones out there that you're going to inform me of that as soon as you say them, I'm going to say, obviously. But Eddie Murray, great ball player, great Hall of Famer.
Isn't that the fun of it when I say the number and you make the face and go, here we go. Real quick. Ron Hunt, 63 to 66, back in the good old days with Mets. Barry Lyons, who won a World Series.
I just saw Barry last weekend.
Yeah.
Great
Barry
guy.
Barry Lyons. Yeah. 86 to 90, he wore 33. He was there for Doc's Day, right?
Yep, and he was there the evening. I saw him 2 days in a row. I saw him, and I see him every year at fantasy camp. He's he's a little bit gruff, but he and I because I'm such a character, and he's more of a mellow, laid back guy. I think it took a little while for me to win him over. But I tell you what, one of the coolest things at that dinner was when I walked in the door and saw Barry, and he's like, "Pulse!" So I was like, "All right,
you won Barry over."
I won Barry over. I love it.
Well, he wore it for a while. Won a World Series. And then 1 year, you mentioned this catcher, Charlie O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Heck of a catcher.
Yeah. He wore it in 1990, as you know, and everyone like yourself said you love throwing to him. So good old Charlie O'Brien? Or was that Doc who said he loved throwing to Charlie O'Brien? Forget, it was maybe both.
It probably, I mean, I never got a chance to throw to him. Oh, I tell you what, okay. I loved watching him catch. And I
right,
tell you
love,
what,
okay.
He could teach a lot to whatever catching is nowadays, because I don't know what in the world I'm watching a lot of the time.
Anthony Young, 1991.
Oh, rest in peace, AY.
Yep. Eddie Murray, 92, 93, like you mentioned. And then the guy that I remember almost is the next guy that I remember the most, John Main, wore it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
06 to 2010. And then probably the most famous, Matt Harvey. 33 for Mr. Harvey. I have his jersey somewhere hanging. And 2012 to 2018. And then you got James McCann, 2021 to 22, and Drew Smith wears it this year.
Right.
So there you go.
Yes, I guess I should have known Harvey. That's pretty sad. But like I said, I'm on a lack of sleep and working nights. It's a little crazy.
I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, so we can make our excuses now.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
there we go. Get well, him out we of the got, way.
Right. So we're going to do, before we hit kickoff of what we need to talk about, a lot of things going on, as always, in Metland. We're going to do this for the second time, Bill. We're going to give away a signed autographed baseball. I'm going to hold it up to the camera. If you're watching on YouTube, say hello media. It is a signed Terry Collins baseball, manager of the 2015 NLCS champs, New York Mets. And if you're listening, well, I will explain how this works. We did it once before. We did have a winner. Three clues throughout the broadcast, the podcast, given at, let's say, 15-minute intervals or so, maybe 20, it depends. Guess the player. Now, the player has nothing to do with Terry Collins, and I'll hold up the ball again a little closer so you can see the signature. And he has number 10 there. Three clues of the player. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with Terry Collins, or it might. And if you guess the player correctly, what you have to do is direct message Say Hello Pod on Twitter. And if you don't have – or X. If you don't have that, please direct message Say Hello Media on Instagram. I'm sure anyone watching or listening has one of those two social media platforms. Direct message to one of those, Say Hello Pod on X or Say Hello Media on Instagram. The answer, if you know what the player is by the three clues I will give you throughout the podcast. Make sense?
Makes sense.
All right. So let's start off with the first clue. Get out of the way. The first clue is, and I wrote it down somewhere. Actually, yes, I did. This player wore number 46 twice in his MLB career with two different teams. I will repeat. First clue for the Terry Collins signed autograph that I'm holding up to the camera. Number 46 wore it twice. Two different major league teams in his career. We'll go to clue number two a little bit later. Clue number three a little bit after that. All right?
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about, first off, let's talk about Bill Pulsifer and what's going on in his personal life, more so his son, before we start talking about the Mets. Bill, take the floor.
Well, I'm happy to share with everybody that it's now official that my son can officially call himself a professional baseball player. 2 weeks ago, he went to the open tryout with the Long Island Ducks here, the Atlantic League here on Long Island, and he did very, very well. They brought him in as a non-roster invite to their spring training camp. He had four outings. Pitched very well in all of them, and he was informed after his outing today that they will be keeping him on the roster. And, yeah, really, really super-duper proud of my son. This has been a long time come for him, a lot of hard work, and I couldn't be more proud. My wife, Michelle, couldn't be more proud. He's completely pumped up. I think it's so cool that I played with the Ducks. You know,
yeah.
I played in the Atlantic League. I played with the Ducks. I won a championship with the Ducks. And now my son is going to get the opportunity to go out there and live his dream, which obviously Endgame isn't hopefully the Ducks, but hopefully it's a nice springboard and an opportunity for him to maybe, you know, turn some heads and see what happens. You know, for a long time, I didn't know if this was ever going to be an opportunity for him, but he has busted his ass this this fall into the winter and now into the spring to try to add some velocity and add some spin rate on his pitches, which we've talked about in past podcasts. And I couldn't be more proud to say that my son is a professional baseball player, and we'll see what comes from here. But what a heck of a day for him and a heck of a day for the Pulsifer family.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not everybody makes it to professional baseball. Obviously you did. And, having your son, I couldn't even imagine the feelings as a father having that come to fruition, especially like you mentioned, the connection that you played for the Ducks. You started the game in which they won their first ever championship in 2004.
Yeah.
And here you are 20 years later, your son is a Duck. Crazy,
surreal.
Right?
Yeah, surreal. Very, very, very surreal. You know, didn't know what to expect, obviously. It's a cool story. It is a cool story that, you know, the Pulsifer father and son were Ducks or going to be a Duck. I just hope that he's ready to make the most of his opportunity. I believe he is. He believes he is. He's very confident right now. And all you can ask for is a chance. And he's getting his shot. And I hope he runs with the ball. And we'll see what happens from here. But this is it's great. You know, I'm blown away. The only thing that's kind of a bummer for me that his grandfather isn't around to be able to share that pride, but I know he knows somehow, some way that his grandson is officially a professional baseball player. So tremendous, yeah. Outstanding.
I'm sure, his grandfather is looking down, very proud on Liam, just like you are right now. Liam is a left-handed pitcher, and
initials LHP,
just like a lefty, like his father, and. We wish him nothing but the best. We'll keep tabs on him as the Duck season progresses. They start very soon in the Atlantic League. Yeah. We'll keep our tabs on Liam Pulsifer, who is now a professional baseball player. And obviously big things are hopefully ahead for him, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. And now it gets real. You know, now right. It's real. You got to go out there and you got to perform. And he's aware of that. We take today, you know, you take your victories when you get them, and today's a victory. So
yeah,
a happy day in the Pulsifer camp.
Very cool. So congratulations again. And we'll keep our listeners tuned in to the progression of Liam as he pitches for the Ducks in a very good league. The Atlantic League is very, it's not like, low A. I broadcast for the Ducks, so there's a little connection there.
Yeah.
I always called it kind of like 4A because you had former major league players who are currently on the Ducks right now. Guys who have gone on just like you to careers, went back, so it's a competitive league is what I'm trying to say.
I've always said that on any given night, it can be anywhere from a high A game to a triple A game, depending yes. on the starting pitcher. And the lineup that's out there, and from what I can see from this Duck, I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr. is on the Ducks team right now.
You know,
won a couple of World Series. They played some lower level independent league teams in their spring training, and they absolutely demolished them to the point to where today they had Liam pitch against the Ducks as opposed to pitching against the Empire League team because they scored 14 runs in the first game, 14 runs in the second game, and 18 runs in the third game. So today they kind of flopped it around a little bit to where, you know, the Ducks, the guys that were going to be the Ducks got to face the Atlantic League players.
An inter-squad game, if you will.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah.
But
so proud.
Congratulations. We'll be following it. Nothing but the best to Liam and the Pulsifer family on this journey. Very happy for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Let's get into some Met baseball talk. A lot going on. It's already been a roller coaster, Bill, and we're about one eighth into the season. Already, it's a roller coaster. The Mets started off their season 0-5. Then they went, 12-5 since. They rattled off their 6-game winning streak. They took 6 of 7. They swept the Pirates, 5-1 on their last homestand. Then out to the West Coast, And we talked about it. Six-game West Coast trip, and we'll be honest, we're recording this podcast while they're currently still on their West Coast trip. It's not over. But we talked about last podcast, six games, three against L.A., in which they took two of three. We'll talk about it. And then three against the Giants in San Francisco. I and you agreed 3-3, we'd sign up for it right now.
Yeah.
So
come home yeah. ready to win your home ball games. You know, it's always tough to go across the country. I know it's Major League Baseball. It's not that
tough. It is, though.
But it's tough. And you know that first time going out there for the year and 500 baseball on your coast-to-coast trips, I think every team will sign up for that if they can do it.
Well, the old cliche is play 500 baseball on the road and 667, two out of three at home, and yep. you'll have a two out of three, you know, 667, basically a winning percentage. So,
you're looking for 600 baseball if you can do right. that, you know,
and even more so. So if those are, we're talking about road games all encompassed. If you could have play a 500 West Coast trip, even better, because flying out west, getting used to the jet lag and the Pacific time and all the travel and everything. It takes time. So
it's definitely a thing. It definitely is the time change in that. It's definitely a thing.
Yeah. So they did take two of three from L.A., the big, bad Dodgers, who are, you know, right around hovering around 500. They'll be fine. But the Mets went into L.A., took the first two, dropped the Sunday game against Tyler Glass now, who's lights out. Probably the front runner, in my opinion, for the Cy Young, but he has to mount the innings. He's never pitched above 120.
That's Liam's guy right there, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, not a bad guy to look up to.
That's his goodness. Guy.
Yeah. But they took the series in LA. They're currently, you know, in San Francisco. We'll see what happens. But you get one win in San Francisco. That's already three wins. What were your impressions of getting going over to LA? Where, again, they score their runs late. They're always fighting. Mendoza looks like he knows what he's doing managing a bullpen. To beat the Dodgers in L.A., it's no slouch. It really isn't.
No, obviously. I don't know if – obviously it's baseball, and anything can happen on any given day. But I think that the Mets have got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, especially through all the lack of expectations supposedly in the offseason, and then getting off to the slow start and then going on to their little hot streak there. I think that they're carrying themselves with a little bit of an attitude, and who better to show your attitude to than the front runner for the possible National League championship contender. Yeah. Like we said last week, it's good to see that the team's competing and they're going to compete. And I think that's what they've proven. And if you can go not just to compete against the top teams, but beat the top teams, it builds your confidence and lets you know that we're going to be in this. And every game, you know, go after every single game like they've been going after it. And they're showing what they can do. Obviously, last couple nights, a little bit of a downturn, but that kind of, you know, you kind of happens where you ride high for a minute. And then you have a little bit of a slump. And now it's how do we get ourselves right back out of there, you know? So big game tonight, obviously. I know we're giving away a little when we're recording, but hey, that's what it is. You know,
for podcasts with baseball, when you play every day on football, where it's once a week, there's no way to get around it, you know? So
I don't want to say must win tonight, but come on, let's get a win. Let's get a W tonight.
Yeah, and listen, Mookie Betts was on the record in the offseason after all the signings. You know, every win, I don't agree with this quote, for an opponent of the Dodgers, it's like their World Series because we're expected to win it all. Well, the Mets apparently just won two World Series over the weekend, you know?
I saw that. I don't know. I don't know why, Mookie. I don't know, man. Come on, you've been around long enough.
Yeah.
You've played baseball long enough. It's not a video game. It's almost like he was talking like it's MLB The Show and they throw the Dodgers out there that they're just going to beat people. And one thing I learned in baseball is, and Greg Pavlik, who was my pitching coach when I first came to the big leagues, used to say that you can't just throw your glove out there and beat people at this level. So it's a little bit crazy. And I I'm a Mookie Betts fan. I think he's a tremendous baseball player. I think that was a little bit of a ridiculous statement.
It was. Gives ammo, you know, bulletin board, you know. What do they call it? I'm drawing a blank.
Bulletin board material.
Yeah. Basically, and the Mets did what they had to do, took two out of three in L.A. and that Sunday game against Glasnow, that's going to be tough no matter
what. You ran into a buzzsaw, you know?
Yeah.
And a day game too, you know, it's not easy.
And one thing I want to mention is that, you know, the Mets lost five in a row. Then they went on a six-game winning streak, took 6 of 7, you know, hovering over 500 now by a couple games. And they lost two in a row at one point, Dodgers, Giants. Like, people need to understand, and we say it all the time, but I got to say it again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You're not going to win every game. So people have to keep, and I'm not calling anyone out specifically, but I just see it on X, and, you know, fans are entitled to their opinion. I'm not the Twitter police or fan police, but you're not going to win every game. So winning streaks are going to happen. Losing streaks are going to happen. It's just how you respond, and even when you're losing, how you fight. And the Mets have that fight. They do. And even the first game in San Francisco, yeah, I'm not sure. They fought and they had the tying run up at the plate out of nowhere in the ninth inning. They lost, but it shows that even when they lose, they're fighting. And over a long season, that's a good thing.
Not losing ugly. You know, you're going to lose. You're going to win. You're going to lose. Not losing ugly is a thing. You know, if you bring the tying run to the plate, or you get the tying run in scoring position or whatever it may be, You're battling. And that's the one thing that we've seen so far from this ball club is they fight. They battle. We said it last week.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to change if they lose a few games in a row. I think they proved that. They proved what they're kind of made of after the first five games, where it would have been easily just to say, you know what?
Yeah.
Screw
this. Lost season. Bye-bye.
But I will say this. I don't want them to run into the team that's either streaky hot or streaky cold. You know, you do want to see some form of consistency where, sure, we're going to win two, we're going to lose one. We're going to win three, we're going to lose two, instead of six, five.
Right,
we don't want to see that. You know, we want to have that. We always talk about this with baseball, the kiddie coaster, you know, little hills, little turns.
Right.
Not
no
peaks
big,
and valleys all the time.
No big peaks and valleys.
Yeah,
exactly.
No big peaks and valleys. You know, you want to be consistent. Go 500 on the road.
Yeah.
Over 600 baseball at home, then you're going to be right in there.
Yeah, and from what I've seen, they're always in it. So I don't think other than the 0-5, and that's not typical to start the season, from what I've seen, the Mets are not going to have those valleys because they seem to fight and always be in it. Since we were talking about that first game in San Francisco, I want to just give a cool story about Pete Alonso. The Mets lost that game Monday to the Giants, opening game in San Francisco, 5-2. And Pete, obviously, and I have a relationship. He fostered Lucy, who's now my dog, a black lab. And he texted me and just was wondering how I'm doing, wondering how Lucy's doing. We went through our chit-chat, and I was like, you know what? Pete, hit a home run for Lucy. You know, just kind of kidding, you know, joking around. Pete hit a home run Monday night in San Francisco in a non-home run hitting ballpark. Line drive over the left field fence. I told him in the text that Lucy would be watching. She was. So happy for Lucy. Happy for Pete. It was his 7th home run. He's actually at this time on pace for 51 home runs. And he hasn't even hit his peak yet. But Bill, I just knew he was going to hit a home run. Because how can you let a chocolate lab, a black lab down in Lucy? You can't.
You can't. It's
right.
Almost like he was from the Seinfeld episode with Paul O'Neill with the autographed birthday card.
Yeah.
You should ask for two. If you would have asked for two, they might have won the ball game.
Well, the crazy thing is that home run was 199 in his career, and that was in the fourth or fifth inning, so we had a couple more at-bats. We'll call it the Lucy home run for home run at 199. Next home run will be 200 for Pete. I was hoping it would be that game because then – that's a very memorable home run, 200 in your career. You'd ask for the ball back, and it would be a Lucy home run. So can't ask for a Lucy home run every time, but he's 1-for-1 on the year.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah, cool story right there. I just want to talk about a couple of players through the first, you know, 20, 25 games or so. Things that we didn't expect or expected, a couple of players that jump off at me. How about Starlin Marte in L.A.? 6 RBIs in the 3 games, a moonshot over the center field wall in LA, which is no easy thing to do. We always said it. Marte is the glue to the lineup, like 22, and he looks healthy and like the old Marte we were hoping for, Bill.
Yeah, so good to see. You know, obviously it'll point to the fact that he just wasn't 100% last year, healthy and recovering from surgeries. That's the thing about being a baseball player or being an athlete in general, is a lot of times they say that you're ready and you're good to go, and you kind of are, or you're not going to hurt yourself, but you're still not up to that 100% level that Marte is showing. Right. We're both big fans of him. Love seeing everything he does on the ball field. Just, I mean, we've talked about it numerous times. He's the straw that stirs the drink. Yep. The glue to the lineup, and we couldn't be more happy to see it. I'm just happy that he's healthy, and that the age doesn't matter at that point in time when he's healthy. You know, he hasn't hit that level to where, okay, I'm old now. He's not. He's healthy, right. And he's playing his butt off.
Yeah, and props to Mendoza. He put him in the number two hole.
I love it.
And that's where he shined in 2022, and he's taken off. He belongs there. He can make things happen. He's dropping down bunts.
I love it.
You know,
he'll hit the ball the other way, but use the hole over there. I love it. He's like we've said. He has the flair. He has the flash, but he really is an old school baseball player when it comes down to it. You know, the way that he goes about the game, and that's part of what I love. I don't mind flash and flair and all that, but old school baseball, there's something to be said for that, and he's willing to play an old school way. He'll drop a bunt if he needs to help the ball club out, you know, so it's all good with Marte.
And he should, because his speed is there. He's got, I think, 6 stolen bases. So we know he's got the speed. And obviously, if you're dropping down a bunt for a hit, you know, you're good to go legs wise, groin wise, which was his injury. So, yes, you and I are happy. He's healthy. We just need Marte to stay healthy and everything will take care of itself.
Yep.
Last player I want to talk about, who's kind of jumped off the page, is Harrison Bader. The guy had a 4-for-4 night on the homestand. He's running well, stealing bases, playing his center field like we all know that he could, and honestly, why the Mets signed him for his defense. But he is I don't know what's going to happen over the course of a full season. You know, I always look to the back of the baseball card, and he's more known for his defense, but he is off to a very good start, putting the ball in play, making things happen, and, you know, hovering around a 300 average. I'm very happy what I've seen from Bader.
Yeah, you know, early in the year, and I was at opening day, he looked lost up there. And I think that we're all human beings. I think maybe early on he was feeling the pressure and the anxiety of, okay, new ball club, still back in New York. You know, he's a New York guy, playing with a former college teammate, maybe pressing a little bit too much, and struggled the first few games. Since then, man, this guy he's like a firebrand, fire starter for the team.
Yeah.
He's doing it from the bottom of the lineup.
Yes.
It's so awesome to see. And he looks so confident in everything that he's doing right now, you know? And so that's very good to see. You know, you didn't know what to expect from him this year. You know, he's battled injuries throughout his career. But another one, just super happy to see that he is playing comfortable in his own skin and feels like he belongs now and belongs in the lineup, belongs on the field, and belongs being a New York Met in the major leagues. And you just hope for health now with him, and with health, hopefully brings consistency, and consistency brings confidence. And, you know, another one that's kind of surprised us a little bit, pleasantly surprised.
Me too. Took the words out of my mouth. Pleasantly surprised. Health for Marte is like for Bader like Marte. Healthy, and sky's the limit, you know, because these guys, well, Bader most part does not stay healthy. So if you can, let's see what you got. He's so far healthy, and he's shown us what he's capable of. Moving on, a little bit of sad, I guess, for lack of a better word, news, are a little rash of injuries that have hit the Mets. The two that it hit in back-to-back days, we'll start with Francisco Alvarez. Kind of a freak injury, rounded first base on a throwing error by the pitcher, and hit his thumb on the infield dirt. And it turned out he tore a ligament in his thumb. His left hand, not his throwing hand, but his catching hand. He had surgery or is getting surgery, and the timeline for that is usually 4 to 8 weeks. 5 weeks to 8 weeks. Brett Beatty had the same injury in 2022. Mm-hmm. He came back in 5 weeks, but the season was over. Beatty is there to help him, and, you know, with the rehab. Couple things before I get your opinion on it. I go off of Beatty. First off, Beatty says just knowing him, they're like best friends. They came up through the Met system. He's a quick healer. He's going to put, or in his words, crush rehab.
Oh, yeah.
And typically, you know, never know what's going to happen, but a thumb injury like that, the Mets for 6 weeks, let's say, hopefully they can hold the fort down. But for a 22-year-old, you never want to see an injury, and especially a catcher, because you're always going to get nicked. You're always going to get dinged. But I do expect him to come back in that 5 to 8 week period and hopefully stay healthy. But no matter what, Bill, Narvaez and Nito, who was called up for Alvarez, it's not the same. It's a tough blow for the Mets and even more so for the young Alvarez.
Yeah, well, obviously some of the power is going to be taken, power potential is going to be taken out of the lineup. Nito's a great backstop. You know, DeGrom threw to Nito and wanted to throw to Nito for many years. That should tell you something about who, what they think about him as a defensive catcher and receiving the baseball. With Alvarez, obviously a bummer, huge bummer. One thing about him with the base running, maybe tone it down just a little bit. You're not supposed to, you don't need to be.
He was mad at himself.
Well, he's a little crazy out there on the base paths, to be honest with you, if you watch him. But that's his exuberance. That's his youth. That's his desire to win. That's his desire to score runs and to make something happen. I think that, like you said, as a catcher who's going to be going through dings and nicks and that, maybe we just calm it down just a little bit. It's hard. You'd always rather have to tell somebody to calm down or tone it down a little bit as opposed to trying to tell him you got to light a fire in this guy's ass.
Right.
So obviously that's a good thing that he's a gamer, a competitor. But maybe we just chill out a little bit on the bases. You know, you go first to home on everything that happens. But you know, you can't fault the guy for being being exuberant and wanting to go. But obviously a blow power potential back there, and also a little bit of lost time for his development. But he'll be back. It does stink that it's his catching hand, which is going to be different than Beatty, where he's got to be receiving 98-mile-an-hour fastballs and sliders and all that. But he'll be back.
He's young.
Yeah.
You know, easier maybe to come back when you're younger, you know?
As somebody that got injured young at the same age, I took my rehab, like I'm sure he's going to take his rehab. My rehab was much longer, so he has a much shorter time frame to look at, which is great. He's going to bust his ass and do whatever he possibly can. Same thing about the base running, same thing with me when I was coming back. You're actually going to have to tell him to chill out probably a little bit in the rehab process, that he doesn't try to do too much, because that's just the type of guy that he is.
Great point. Yeah, he might take it a little, and I'm sure they're aware of that, you know.
Well, they know him.
yeah, and they'll be all over that. You don't want to go overboard, you know, play it the way.
I had a couple of little setbacks on the Tommy John because I was trying to do too much. It's so funny. I remember specifically when I'm finally allowed to start throwing. And I was traveling with the club in 96. And I wanted the job of throwing the ball to the first baseman when he ran into the dugout, just so I could get a few extra throws in, because I was dying to throw, you know. So you had your program. Okay, 25 throws at 25 feet and 25 throws at 45 feet. Well, I would make sure I get the ball so I could throw it to the first baseman. So I guarantee Alvarez is going to be the same way, where he's going to go and do whatever he possibly can to get back as fast as he possibly can.
Yeah, it also makes you feel, when you're not playing on the team in the roster, like you're part of the team.
You're part of it, yep.
Helping out in any which way you can.
And he'll be the exact same way.
Kind of like Kodai Senga in a different way. He's not pitching now. He's on his way back. Don't forget about Senga, guys. He's coming back. Hopefully no setbacks. But he took everybody out different times when you're making all this money. He took the whole team out to a Japanese restaurant in Manhattan over their last homestand, to a great Japanese restaurant, and they all loved it. But that's his way of saying, hey, guys, I'm still a Met. I'm hurt. Don't forget about me. I'm coming back, and I will contribute.
That's a good sign. That's a good thing, man. Yeah. Good team player right there.
And then the last injury, and hopefully the last, you know, there will be more injuries. That's just baseball. Knock on wood, nothing severe. Brooks Raley was put on the IL with left elbow inflammation. And when it was announced by the Mets, everybody lost their minds, because you hear, obviously, elbow and the way everything's going this year, people lose their minds for good reason. And he's been great for the Mets. However, looking into it, he had this same problem at the exact same time in 2023 last year. In April, left elbow inflammation, only missed the 2 weeks, came right back. He got a shot. He felt good. And we're hoping for the same thing here this year, because Raley is a very, very important part of this bullpen for the Mets.
Oh, yeah, integral part, and a great pitcher, you know. And I actually, going to Liam again real quick, I kind of use Liam as Raley as a comp for, like, Liam. I think you should watch this guy, pay attention to this guy, because, you know, he's not a 95 and above mile an hour fastball guy, but he's able to pitch and be very, very competitive. Makes you wonder if the inflammation thing, if there's maybe a bone chip or a bone spur or something involved in there that he doesn't want to get taken out. It's obviously you're happy to, you don't want to hear flexor pronator strain. You don't want to hear ligament strain, sprain. You don't want to hear those kinds of things. So hopefully they're being on the up and up, and there's just some inflammation. To me, that sounds like possibly, and listen, I'm not a doctor, but I am a guy that had a bum elbow and had to deal with elbow injuries. So, maybe it's a bone chip or something that moves around every once in a while and flares his arm up.
Well, we'll hope that it was like last year. He got a shot. He said last year everything was good. And hopefully this is the same for 2024, because the Mets do have a very good bullpen to start out this year. Stats prove it.
He's a big part of it.
He really is. So hopefully the Mets get him back in that two-week span. Moving on, let's talk real quick. Before we get into the mailbag, I did want to talk about Aaron Judge and his struggles and also Boone's ejection. But we have some questions in the mailbag, quick pitches and all that. But we got to talk about the City Connect uniforms, because uniforms for the Mets, and all teams are getting them and unveiling them. Finally, the Mets got to unveil what they're going to wear every home game on Saturday. So the first Saturday, you might be listening to this past Saturday, wherever you may be. But Saturday, next home game, they will be wearing them. I'm sure everybody listening or watching has seen them. If you haven't, it says NYC on the jersey, gray and white pants, gray top with pinstripes that are actually the subway lines. They're black, but it symbolizes the subway, the concrete jungle, if you will, of NYC. And then a little bit of purple, which I like. Homage to the 7-line train that hundreds of thousands of fans take to Citi Field and Shea Stadium back in the day. They have a stripe on the jersey, and then the top of their hat has the purple as well.
It's got the bridge, right?
Yeah, and on the hat it's the Queensboro Bridge. So I'm not a fan of Citi Connect jerseys, because every team gets one and they're usually trash, but some teams do a better job. This one, in my opinion, isn't great, but it's not horrible, so I can deal with it. Also, I love how
the Mets paid attention. The font is an homage, right?
Thank you. Yes, the font that they're using on the NYC, and you know, any font, is the font for the 1962 Road Grays, or the road uniforms that they wore, the same font. So thank you for that. Their attention to detail with these City Connects, I love it. I don't love the City Connects in general for all 30 major league teams. I think it's a money grab, and okay, like MLB needs more money, but fans do love uniforms and swag and all that. So the Mets didn't, you know, kill it, but they didn't throw it under the bus, if you will. They, in my opinion, did okay. Could have been worse, and I love their attention to detail. Any thoughts on their City Connects?
No, you know what? I think you nailed it. I totally agree. I'm a little bit of a traditionalist, and I think that the Mets uniforms in general, and we've talked about this, the pinstripes at home, to me, my favorite home uniform in all of sports. And then the grays are beautiful as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with anything in the Mets uniforms. But obviously,
I love the grays, by the way, the road grays.
I
love them.
I love them. But people, like you said, do love the new jerseys, and to be able to, and I saw a little kid, I was watching Twitter, and one of the guys that I follow posted his son out in LA, and he already had
Yeah.
That was beautiful. That was great. You know, I love the attention to detail that they did do. Listen, I'm not a huge fan of purple in baseball uniforms. We have the Rockies, but the fact that it is a homage to the seven line army. You can't get mad at that.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the white pants with the gray. I don't get that. But I guess that's the making it the home part of the uniform. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan in general of the uniforms. It's obviously to make money. It's obviously, but you, like you said, fans love to go buy some new gear.
Yeah.
But the attention to detail that they made into the uniform to make it specific to Queens, to Flushing. You can't fault that.
Yeah, could be worse, but we'll be unveiling it April.
It's going to look weird.
Yeah, you know, it probably will.
We haven't seen the Mets do that yet. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we get to our second clue of giving away the Terry Collins signed baseball, we gave away the first one. The second clue before, let's really quick, Bill, because I know you have a little bit of got a deadline where you have things to do later. Before we get into the second clue, we got to talk about J.D. Martinez really quick. He had his rehab in St. Lucie, played one game, had a couple knocks. Now he's in Syracuse. He's going to play all week there. If everything goes to plan, and that's knock on wood again, he should be making his debut next homestand for the Mets. Maybe Friday against the Cardinals, or maybe Saturday when they unveil the City Connects. That would be weird, his first game. But yeah,
not even wearing a Mets uniform.
Exactly.
How funny.
Where I'm going with this, with Alvarez now out, how big of it is to get a J.D. Martinez in?
Well, there you go. There's right? The return of some of that potential power, you know, that we're going to lose. They're going to lose here for the next few weeks, 2 months. Great to know. Look, obviously, it was very excited that I signed finally, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get ready. But oh, goddamn it, I'm old. You know,
yeah.
He ran into a little bit of soreness. And the thing about backs is backs don't like being overused. You know, so obviously, I think that shows you how interested and how hungry he was to get out there and be ready as soon as possible. Unfortunately, the body sometimes doesn't agree with your workload. But it's great to hear that he got the cortisone shot, banged it out, and that he's close to play. And obviously, getting him as a replacement in the lineup for Alvarez is a big thing. You know, the guy can still hit. He proved it last year. He's getting knocks right now on his way up. Let's see what happens this week in Syracuse, but he'll be a nice addition for sure.
Yeah, the plan wasn't obviously for him to come up for Alvarez in terms of power. It's just the way it happened. Injuries happen. Alvarez will be back, and they both will be in the lineup at the same time. But the timing, I guess, couldn't be better if he comes back healthy and has that power that he's supposed to bring. You know, so
and you know what, and we've said this before about him, veteran leadership in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that's been there, a guy that's done that. He's seen it all, you know, good, bad, and ugly, the best, you know, all of that. Just another good piece to the puzzle.
I'm glad that you brought that up as we wrap the J.D. Martinez talk up. Never mind the 36 home runs and the veteran, the 36 home runs and the power. Everybody just loves how he's a baseball guru, veteran presence, good guy in the clubhouse, and that could be as important as his 30 home runs plus, you know?
I think so.
So that should help no matter what. Clue number two of three. It's guess the player. If you do, you will get a signed Terry Collins baseball. If there's more than one person that guesses the player, you have to follow and direct message either Say Hello Pod on Twitter or Say Hello Media on Instagram, our official Instagram on Say Hello Media. Guess the player. And if there's more than one, we'll do a little spinning the wheel, and whatever lands on that person will win. Terry Collins showing it out to the camera right now if you're watching on YouTube at Say Hello Media. If you are not, subscribe on YouTube at Say Hello Media. Clue number two is this player is a two-time Met. I'm not sure if I gave that as part of clue number one, actually, but if I did, whatever. Clue number two is this player is a two-time Met, and what that means is that at two times in his career, he played for the New York Mets. So we have two clues, one more clue coming before we wrap up the podcast. Send your guesses in for the who you think the player is. We'll explain it one more time. We're not going to go into Aaron Judge right now striking out every time. He'll be okay. The Aaron Boone thing real quick was the worst ejection I've ever seen. Your thoughts on that? I'll just say it. The fan basically said the words, Boone got ejected by the umpire. Worst ejection I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, obviously there's some umpires are more rabbit ears than other rabbit ears. But
my God.
Unfortunately, his rabbit ears were hearing the wrong person. And,
Yeah.
I'm sure that if there's a fine involved, I would think that Boone's probably going to appeal that to, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was, you know, against.
Listen, I don't like the
power trip for the.
I don't like to berate umpires because they are part of the game, but some umpires are a little more difficult to deal with than others. Let's just leave.
Yes, I'm sure you dealt with many in your career. So that was crazy. But we got to move on to the mailbag. So we got a couple questions. We can't get to them all, but we do appreciate who wrote in. Every podcast, you can write at @Shea_hello. Send out your questions that Bill and I will answer live on the podcast every week. We're going to do that now. Bill, you ready for the first one?
Always ready.
All right, mailbag time from Justin, NYMGI. He's got a question for you, Bill.
Okay.
Bill, how often do you experience inflammation? What exactly does it feel like? Do guys try to pitch through it? Thank you.
From the time I had Tommy John surgery at 21 years old to the time I retired at 37, I dealt with inflammation in my elbow. I lived on Indocin, which is a very, very powerful anti-inflammatory, like way beyond Aleve. There was another one that we lived on that they ended up taking off the market because people were having heart issues.
Nice.
I can't remember the name of that one. But what does it feel like? Inflammation feels like stiffness in the joint, you know, where your joint swells up. I can always tell if I couldn't, and I can tell I have some right now. If I can't touch my shoulder with my left arm, I can tell that I'm a little bit inflamed in my elbow. It's one of those things that pitchers deal with inflammation in their arm all the time, you know. And you live on anti-inflammatories when it comes down to it, you know. That's just part of the gig. As an athlete, especially a thrower, you're doing a lot of damage. You're doing stuff that your arm's not supposed to do that. So that's your body's way of telling you, hey, chill out, bro. You know, so
it's
kind of a protection method for your body. Dealt with it all the time.
Yeah. Good question, because that's happening a lot, as we talked about with Brooks Raley. And like Raley, you left-handed pitcher like yourself. So thank you for the question, Justin. Let's move on to Jeff Cohen. He's got a podcast, Baseball and Barbecue, avid fan of our podcast, just like we're an avid fan of his podcast. He's got a question for both of us. He's so nice. He's a good guy. We'll go with his question to you first. Bill, what do players typically do on an off day in a visiting city?
Well, you know what? It's obviously this happened at home with Senga, but usually they'll be like, if it's not the whole team, like maybe the pitching staff will get together for a dinner or the whole team. You know, you go to a Ruth Chris, you go to a nice steakhouse, you go to a nice hibachi place or something like that. Guys will go catch a movie, you know, maybe go find something in the city that is a historical location in the city and go check that out. You know, I always like to try to get out and see the city a little bit when I was on the road and we had a day off. But definitely some form of a meal with, if it's not a few teammates, it's usually a big group of teammates having a nice big dinner and eating well.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, now with money being a lot more, players have the opportunity to have family come with them so they could go out to dinner with their families, I've seen.
Yeah.
I guess you were more of the sightseeing kind of guy.
I just get out and see, you know, historical places. I mean, like, I remember being in St. Louis. You got a day off. Where are we going? We're going to the Arch. We're going to go see the Arch, and we're going to go into the museum at the Arch. You know, I like that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Question for me. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that, buddy. All right. His question to Casey. Casey, do you follow other NY sports teams, NY being New York? If so, which ones? Jeff, I do, and I thank you. Perfect timing for this question. I'm a big Knick fan. My Twitter wouldn't know it because I usually tweet about MMA and obviously baseball and the Mets, but because the playoffs is where really the season gets underway, and the Knicks have been so bad for so long. But ever since they signed Tom Thibodeau to be their head coach, 3 out of 4 playoff appearances, and here, 50-win season. I'm a big Knick fan. I was at the Garden when I was 10 years old, watching the likes of Patrick Ewing and Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley.
There's a number 33 for you.
Yeah, good call. So I'm a huge Knick fan. that game on Monday night in which they scored 5 points or 6 points in the last 20 seconds against the Sixers was the craziest playoff game finish for a Knicks victory I've ever seen. For all the shit that Knicks fans have taken with the Reggie Miller bullshit and just not making the playoffs, that one felt good because everything had to go right, and it did. The double bang by Mike Green was unbelievable. Pandemonium. There's nothing like MSG and nothing like Knicks fans who bleed orange and blue like Mets fans for their team. And just like Mets fans, Mets' last World Series was too long ago in 86. The Knicks haven't won a championship since 73.
Yeah.
So Knicks fan here, hockey not so much, football not so much, but Knicks for sure, big MMA fan as well. Thank you for the question. Let's go Knicks. Last question. We only got time for one more. Jake 12889. He's got a question for you, Mr. Pulsifer.
Right.
Bill, what did players do? This is a funny one. What did players do for the most part when they had to go number two, but were playing in the field?
Clinch the booty cheeks, man. I mean, what are you going to do? There's not. I mean, hopefully it doesn't sneak up on you. And I think we might have talked about this, about a catcher that had an episode
we did
years ago.
It got over 2,000 views on YouTube.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
but you just gotta. It's same thing that you're doing if you're out walking the dog and you're three blocks away. You know, you clinch and hope and please get an out. Please get an out. Please make an out.
A lot of talking and praying.
Yeah, talking to yourself and praying to yourself that the third out is made, and then you kind of. I guess you gotta kind of.
Wobble?
Yeah, wobble into the dugout is not to disrupt anything.
Yeah, okay. We've all been there, whether you play baseball or not. It happens at the most often two times. Thank you for the question, Jake 12889. He's back-to-back podcasts he's written in. So
there we go.
Thanks so much, and thanks for everybody that wrote in. Look out for a tweet from Shay_hello. When you have a question for either Bill or myself. That's going to wrap up the mailbag. Let's get out of the way the last clue before quick pitches, and we could wrap this puppy up. The last clue to win a Terry Collins signed baseball, the manager of the 2015 New York Mets who went to the World Series, holding it up to the camera. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, Shay Hello Media. The last clue of the three is this player played with Hall of Famer Larry Walker and also superstar Jose Canseco. I'll repeat it. This player in his career played with Hall of Famer Larry Walker and superstar Jose Canseco. So throughout the entire podcast, those are your three clues. Watch it again if you need to get your reminder. If you have a guess of who this player is, simply DM us on Twitter, SayHelloPod with your guess, or on Instagram at Shay Hello Media. Follow us. And if you're right and there's more than one, we'll put you in a wheel. If you're the only one, you win. We did this a couple weeks ago. There was a winner. Jeff Kent was the signed ball. And Al Leiter was the trivia question answer. I sent out the Jeff Kent ball. He received it all as well. So good luck.
I saw the tweet with what was the name again? Ad Tata Davina Nino.
Yeah. Almost like a prank if it was Adam Ottavino. But nope, that was
He was proud of his prize.
I had to mail it out. It was his real name. He received it.
Yep.
So good luck. Shay Hello Pod, P-O-D at the end. Shay Hello Media on Instagram. If you have a guess for who that player is, send him in. As soon as you hear this, you could win. Again, the Terry Collins, I'm holding it up to the camera, inscribed with his number 10, autographed baseball. So it is time for my favorite segment, and that's why we save it for the last. Quick pitches. If you're new to the program, real quick, three questions for Bill. Doesn't have to be baseball related. If I don't like number three, we go to four questions. He doesn't know what's coming at all, and the rapid fire. You ready, Bill?
Lay it on me.
Question one. If you could trade places with anyone in the world alive right now for just 1 week, and then you go back to your old Bill Pulsifer for life, who would it be? 1 week, 7 days.
One person alive right now.
7 days.
7 days.
One full week.
Shohei Ohtani. How about that? I don't know.
Yo, you're a big gambler, huh? No, I'm kidding.
No, that's a tough question, man.
Good.
I'm going to say Shohei. He's on top of the world right now, right?
He's the number one name and probably best player in baseball. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, okay. I get to be Japanese for a week and see what that's all about. That would be cool.
Great culture.
Why not?
Yeah.
Great culture. Great, and not just loved in America, loved worldwide.
Oh, yeah. Global superstar, not just here. I like that answer. Question two. Very simple question. What do you do to unwind? What does Bill Pulsifer do? I know the answer.
It's a few beers and sitting down with my Xbox and running around Rebirth Island right now, which is the new map that just dropped. Well, new old new map. Yeah, that's what I do. I chill, you know, have a few beers and trying to quote unquote shoot people because I don't believe in violence, but I like the video game.
I knew you were going to say that, but for any new to listeners, he's a big Warzone.
Yeah,
is the Warzone. Game. Exactly. So
I play more. I mean, it's a Call of Duty game, but I started on Call of Duty and then moved over to Warzone, which is a Call of Duty game. It's just a battle royale style.
All right, that was a layup question.
Yeah,
so I knew the answer. Let's go with a little more creative question. I do my best to come up. We do these podcasts every week, so they're getting tougher and tougher.
I was thinking about it just the other day, and you do a great job.
I appreciate that, sir. Question three might be the last one, depending on his answer. Bill, craziest fashion trend you ever rocked in your life?
I don't know if you remember this because you're too young, probably. I would say, obviously, two things.
Okay.
The jeans that were the same width all the way down, but they were like
baggy.
Yeah, but like huge, you know, like 18 inches, not 18 inches. Let's say the legs were probably like 12 to 14 inches wide the whole way down, you know, where I still wear baggy clothes.
Okay.
And I like loose clothing, but these were like, if you think early 90s pants, those were a little silly. There was another one, and they're making a big comeback, because when I was in Manhattan a few weeks ago, all the girls walking around, and the people, it's mostly the girls. I didn't see the guys, but I saw a lot of girls wearing the wide pants all the way down. Not just baggy, but wide.
I've seen that.
I would say the second thing, and this is a Cypress Hill homage. It was a stocking cap that was like a sleeve, and then it had a string tied around it.
Oh. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Early 90s. I mean, look, you look back, I can't believe it's making a comeback. The 90s is, but some of the clothing in the early 90s was something to behold. Obviously, jorts.
Yep.
Jean shorts was
not a fan of those, but
that was a bold move. But I had a lot of jorts back in the day. But I would say those three things. You know, the totally wide leg pants, the silly beanie with the top, and I remember John Franco making fun of me about the beanie on my, but I thought, listen, I thought I was part of Cypress Hill, I guess. I don't know. And then jorts was always a bad look. I thought it was great back then. I used to wear jorts with combat boots to the field.
Oh boy, that is so, what, 91 to 95?
You got it. Those were the heyday.
I love your answers. You gave three. I asked for one. So we don't need a fourth quick pitch. Beautiful. Awesome. You gave three. But I'm that. I just want on the record, I'm not a fan of jorts. So
I'm not either now. But okay. I used to love them, and now I look at them. I'm like, what in the world is jorts is bad?
Uh huh.
It's like the guy Teacherman, the guy that's teaching Judge how not to hit. I think he wears jorts every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I like the answer. Three answers for the one question, and we'll save the fourth question for today for the next podcast on quick pitches. Without further ado, that's going to wrap up, amazingly, episode 33. Before we go, want to remind people just a couple things. If you have the guess of the player for the Terry Collins signed baseball, direct message Shaylo Pod on Twitter or Shaylo Media on Instagram. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and please subscribe on YouTube to Shaylo Media so you can see our lovely faces as well. Bill, before we say goodbye, I want to say once again, congratulations to your son, Liam.
Thank you.
Anything you would like to say to our listeners or anything at all?
Just like always, man, I appreciate everybody that listens. Keep listening, spread the word, tell your friends. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. So for Stephen White, our producer, check out his podcast, Cold Popcast, Behind the Scenes. And Bill Pulsifer, my name is Casey Lynn, saying so long. Till next time.